I have been with the Hebrew University for as long as I can remember. I am the extreme example of what you call inbreeding, from freshman to president in the same place.
And Professor Gutfreund's attentions these days are focused very much on this man. Is it a voice you recognize?
I would believe that Gandhi's views were the most enlightened of all the political men in our time. We should strive to do things in his spirit, not to use violence in fighting for our cause, but by non-participation in anything you believe is evil.
Albert Einstein, who left his papers to the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Professor Gutfreund is helping to look after them.
Where he bequeathed everything that he possessed, except for his violin, which he bequeathed to his grandson. Other than that, everything else was bequeathed to the Hebrew University. When he died, there was a collection of papers, not only his scientific papers. He was a prolific writer. He expressed his view more than any other individual, scientist or not, on every issue that was on the agenda of mankind. The first half of the 20th century, he corresponded with peers. There are thousands of letters. It was all in a mess. There was a very loyal, devoted secretary who worked with him. He put several years of work into making it into a decent archive. In 1982, all that was shipped to the Hebrew University.
Now, I know there's some scholarship going on in Caltech in Pasadena in America on that, but here is the main headquarters, is it, for studying those papers?
We have produced several microfilms of the whole archives. One set of that is in Caltech. In Caltech, at present, the editorial board of the Einstein Collected Papers Project, which is a scientific edition of this entire archival material. Ultimately, there will be about 30 volumes. 13 are already published. It is ultimate resource on Einstein scholarship.
What about the Australian connection? There are two, aren't there?
Oh, there was an Australian connection. In 1922, there was an eclipse. 3 years after the 1919 eclipse, during which this British expedition headed by Eddington confirmed for the first time one of Einstein's predictions that light rays reaching us from distant stars are bent in the neighborhood of the solar gravitational field. Now, once that was confirmed in 1919, Einstein was catapulted into a world star status. You see, today people trying to make comparison talk about Elvis Presley and Madonna and Michael Jackson, and there you had them all in one person. That's what Einstein was perceived like. But there were still a few scientists who doubted. And there was another chance. And that happened in 1922. And that eclipse was best seen from Australia. So there were several expeditions that went to Australia. They set up in four places in Australia provisional observation telescopes, and the one in Wallal, in Western Australia, near this industrial city of Broome, produced the most conclusive results. And after that, there was no doubt anymore. They measured 141 stars. And it's not only the phenomenon, but it was also confirmed very accurately, quantitatively and qualitatively.
Was he actually invited to come and observe at that time?
He was then invited. We have in the archives a letter, an invitation letter, signed by the vice chancellors of the University of Melbourne, of Sydney and Adelaide, inviting him to come to Australia to lecture at the university. They went to the details of his visit and they offered him an honorarium of 100 British pounds for those lectures. He never made it. Another connection, we have in the archives a letter to Einstein from the Australian embassy in Berlin, telling him that his Australian friends have sent him a didgeridoo, and he is welcome to pick it up. And if he wants to get instruction on how to play the instrument, they will provide it for him.
How extraordinary. I can't imagine Einstein playing the didgeridoo. Mind boggling.
Neither can I.
I could imagine him doing some calculations on the waveform of the sound in the tube. But with all those, you said the scholarship, looking at the history of the man, but do you think there's anything really that will be a profound revelation of his scientific thoughts, for instance, on the quest for the unified field theory? One imagines someone turning over, you know, a page not looked at for 60 years, and suddenly there are two equations that reveal everything. Is there any chance of that?
Well, look, history of science is just like any other history. We interpret and reinterpret the evidence that we have. You know, for example, his greatest scientific achievements are the special theory of relativity, the general theory of relativity. And it is of great interest to really to understand the roadmap to those. I mean, it was so innovative. There were so many giants of physics. And here was this one young man, 26 years old, not working at a university, like everybody else, struggling with the big problems of physics. Physics was in a real crisis at the end of 19th and the beginning of the 20th century. There were many experimental discoveries which could not be explained by classical physics. Could not. And people invented all kinds of theories and explanations. And here is this young man. In 1905, the miraculous year, as we call it in the history of science, wrote four papers that solved all the puzzles of physics in those days. And, as a byproduct, discovered, developed the special theory of relativity. So it's interesting to browse through all those letters and to see the clues.
And you've, of course, written two books which have extracts of some of his own writings and this very fine writing, and you've got the illustration and your own written explanations of what is going on there in his mind.
Well, I edited and I annotated.
You annotated, yes.
Some of his manuscripts, yes. And you see, the general theory of relativity is perceived today, rightly so, as the most sophisticated intellectual construction produced by a single human mind. There are great things that have been done, but it is always a communal effort. You can only admire the bright young men who make progress at the frontier of physics, trying to develop this theory of everything as sophisticated, even more. It's one single mind. And there is one other thing which people should appreciate. Everything that Einstein did in 1905 was sort of on the agenda of physics, was to respond to questions. If not for Einstein, it would have been done. Not by one, maybe by 100. Not in 1 year, maybe in 10 or 20 years, but it would have been done. You cannot say that about the general theory of relativity. There was nothing that called for it. It was just his conviction that that's what the universe has to look like.
Any more consequences of Einstein that we might have in everyday life that we haven't even considered?
Of course. Whenever you stand in the doorway of an elevator and you prevent the door from closing, what do? You break the trajectory of a light ray that would otherwise impinge on a metal surface, would turn on an electric circuit and would close the door. Now, this process of turning light into electricity is called the photoelectric effect. The photoelectric effect was discovered experimentally, the beginning of the 20th century. Nobody understood it.
Of course, he
it
got
contradicted the classical physics.
Yeah, yeah.
Einstein provided the correct explanation and got a Nobel Prize for this.
And not for relativity, it was for that.
And not for relativity. Relativity was, for many years, a controversial issue, not understood, misunderstood, and actually, even by Einstein's opponents in Germany, depicted as Jewish science, which corrupts the pure Aryan minds, because physics is experimental, and the Jews, who have no respect for evidence and for logic and for truth, and Einstein is always quoted in that context by those circles, among them two Nobel laureates, two German Nobel laureates. So relativity was still not appreciated, not understood.
Final question, what are your plans now for the elucidation and the exploration of the papers? It will just continue for years?
The publication of the collected papers will continue for years.
So you've got 13, how many volumes do you expect?
About 30.
So twice as many.
But this is mainly done in collaboration with the Hebrew University by the editorial board in Caltech. You see, the big dilemma is why the whole world is so interested in Albert Einstein. You know, you would think 50 years after his death, he would somehow, disappear in history. But if anything, there is more interest. The interest in the Einstein phenomenon is increasing. That is what we sense. 2005, when the whole world celebrated the centenary of the miraculous year, there was such a demand for workshops, conferences, exhibitions on Einstein everywhere. And of course, since we have the most important resource here, we were partners to everything. That is still going on. By the way, we had an exhibition. One of the first exhibitions that we did was in Questacon in Australia, in the Science Museum in Perth, and also in the two Jewish museums in Melbourne and Sydney, because that exhibition had a significant focus on Einstein's Jewish identity.
Professor Hanoch Gutfreund, a former president of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. The Science Show is produced by David Fisher and Charlie McCune. I'm Robin Williams.